many of them. But everyone's mode is Das was me, Das was me. Krishna's the supreme, he's the center. So in line 3, it's talking about more of this, even uses the word Angam Chabushi Yatam Abaranar Kritashi Abarana. Bhushana and Abarana means ornamentation and decoration. So this is, of course, those devotees that are in ladies' forms, they know more about ornamenting and decorating their bodies because they do that as part of their dressing. And those that are pujaris, whether they're male or female, they dovetail that talent they may have as ladies, or they cultivate that talent as men, or they maybe have it in their sanskaras from last life, the men. And they become men or women, become very expert pujaris, decorating and ornamenting the deities in very beautiful, tasteful ways. Because there are so many necklaces and so many dresses, and which necklaces go with which dresses. And it's quite an art. The art is called Shringar Seva, decorating Radha and Krishna. As any pujari knows, at a big temple, they have hundreds of necklaces and chokers and earrings and finger rings and bracelets and some armlets and ankle bells and toe rings and nose rings, especially here on the Indian side, where they have this nose ring. It's rather unusual in Western countries. But it's part of Krishna's Nitya Sringar. Krishna and Radha, they both are a Nasik Moti, a nose pearl. Nasik means nose. So when decorating the deities, it's almost practice. You can say it's practice for decorating, because the deities, if our consciousness is pure and elevated and transcendental, they're no longer deities, but they're Radha and Krishna. Sakshat Radha and Krishna. As much as we're personally developed, as much as we are transcendental persons with transcendental hearts and transcendental minds, that's how much we can feel the transcendence of the Murtis, and that's how much we can see them as what they really are and who they really are. And who they really are is directly Radha and Krishna standing before us and moving and standing and standing to be dressed and sitting to eat and moving and dancing in their own leelas, unknowns to us behind the closed doors or curtain of their deity room. And there's so many pastimes. Monkey Bihari, for example. Famous deity of Vrindavan, 400-year-old deity. One devotee was coming every day from Matgaon across the Yamuna, on the other side of the Yamuna from Keshagat, Matgaon, coming for Darshan, and somehow he became old and he got this eye disease called glaucoma. He could not find its way properly, couldn't tell if it was day or night. So he thought it was afternoon, evening time when he would come every day to the Yamuna and get a boat and go to the other side and then go to the temple and take darshan. That was his daily niyam, his regulation. So now he's blind. He said, oh, anyway, I have to go see Bhakti Vihari. So he went to the bathing god. He said, Noka. It was 11 o'clock at night. All the boatmen means Noka. They were all sleeping. No one was there. So then he was crying, oh, Bhakti Vihari, you're over there, just on the other side of the river, and I'm over here. I want to see you. And even though he was blind, he thought, anyway, I'll go, and maybe, who knows, I want to go there. So he got that far to the riverbank, even though he's blind. So Bhakti Vihari is in his temple, and he's resting or whatever he's doing over there, out for Leela. And he heard the crying of his devotee. Oh, Bhakti Vihari, I'm missing you so much. Every day that was coming for so many years, 50, 60 years. Even though I'm blind, I'm still going to come and show you my sincerity. And I know that you're so great and you're so grand and you're so merciful and kind and unlimited that even if I just make the effort, across Yamuna and weave my way through this gullies and lanes of Vrindavan and arrive at your temple door, and I go inside to take your darshan, I'm sure you will reveal yourself to me. I'll see exactly what kind of turban you're wearing and what color outfit and how you're, what kind of glimmer you have in your eye and what kind of smile you have in your face. I'm sure I will see all that in the eyes of my heart, because my external eyes are not functioning. But I'm sure you'll reveal yourself in my heart. And this type, excuse me, this type of shraddha of faith and love, this great devotee of Bhaktivihari had. So he got there, and Bhaktivihari heard this devotee crying, "Oh, Bhaktivihari, Bhaktivihari." So Bhaktivihari left the temple, and he went to the Yamuna, and he got in a boat, and he crossed the river, and he said, "Hey," because he was saying, "Noka, Noka." He was chanting Noka. It was 11 o'clock at night. There were no boatmen, no Nokas. Then Bihari said, "Ah, Aro, 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 I'm coming, I'm coming." So then Bhaktivihari came, he said, "Oh, yes." And he was feeling, and then the boatman said, "Hold my hand, I'll take you in." And he reached his hand over the bow, and he brought him into the boat, the front of the boat, bow. Brought him into the boat, and he sat there. And then Bhaktivihari was pushing a boat across the Yamuna, and the man was there. And then Bhaktivihari started singing some bhajan, some Brajvasi bhajan. And then the devotee knew that bhajan, so he was singing along with Bhaktivihari across the Yamuna. Thank you, boatman. And he took out his money. He had 1 rupee in his pocket. He's blind. And Bhaktivihari said, "Okay, thank you." You know, the pujaris are very eager to take donations. So Bhaktivihari took 1 rupee. And then the man had his stick, and he's blind, and he starts making his way. Because he knows the way, even by someone in 50, 60 years, he knows, "I go this far, and then I turn right." And Bhaktivihari said, "Listen, I'll help you." He said, "No, you take care of your boat. You know, you have to make your business. I don't want to. I can make my way. I'll find my way to Bhaktivihari." "No, it's very dark." And he said, "For me, it's always dark," because he was blind. Bhaktivihari said, "It's very dark. You may stumble on a ditch or gully or, you know, this open sewers, we call them." So Bhaktivihari held his hand, and he took him in a temple, and he went in that temple, and then the doors are closed. So Bhaktivihari, when he left the man, he said, "You wait here, I just have to go outside for a second." So Bhaktivihari went by, went in the corner, the side door, went into the altar, opened the doors, and then he made the sound of some panda or something. "Bhaktivihari, la, the key." And the man was all by himself. He went, "Jai." And he couldn't see, because he was blind, but he could hear. He said, "Bhaktivihari, Jai," and only one Jai, me, only me saying Jai. It's very strange. Yes. Anyway, so he's standing there. Every day he would offer so many nice duties and prayers, and he's praying. And then the Bhaktivihari wanted to play with him. So the Bhaktivihari took his flute, and he started playing. "Oh, Bhaktivihari, you're playing. Okay, you play flute and I'll sing." So then he sang, and Bhaktivihari played the flute. So then he said, "Okay, thank you for your darshan, I'll take leave now." So he's leaving, and then Bhaktivihari closed the doors. And then went out the side door and came around and said, "This is the boatman. Oh yes, boatman. Yo, where have you been?" "Oh, I had to go somewhere." He said, "I'll help you back to the boat." So he took him back to the boat. And then in the morning, he went to that village with that man. And then in the morning, the pujaris opened the door. And, "Where's Bhaktivihari?" He wasn't there. And they went to find him. And then they couldn't find him. And then they said, "Boatman, anyone seen Bhaktivihari?" And some boatman said, "No, but I found this necklace in my boat. I found this pearl necklace lying in my boat." And the pujari said, That's Bhaktivihari's necklace. How'd it get in your boat? You thief." "I'm not a thief." "Well, if I was a thief, I wouldn't show it to you." You know, it's Vrindavan, and you steal something, you'll say, "Look, I stole this." You know, "I don't have it." Yeah. So then, of course, he was. Then they finally they figured out that where Bunky Bihari was, and then they decided. The majority said, "Look, we can't close the doors for too long because Bunky Bihari may run away." So this is. I don't know how we got to that story. It's a very beautiful story. But we're talking about Sringar Deva, of the Lord, and how this is being prayed for here, this intimate seva. And I was, because he's talking in his third line, he's talking about Angam. Angam means, of course, like arms, body, neck. Musha, Bhushanam, Abharanam, ornaments and decorations. So there's two things, ornaments and decorations. So decorations, of course, are different paintings. And ornaments are the earrings and necklaces and chokers and finger rings and bracelets. So in Radha Krishna Gana Nishadipika and other books like Govinda Lilamrita, they explain the different types of bhushana and ornaments that the Manjaris put on. And there's one that I want to describe to you and share with you that, of course, if you're an Indian lady, you may be more familiar with this particular article of jewelry, which may seem rather odd and different to Western ladies. But to speak of rational men who can't figure out what it's all about anyway, because it's a very extraordinary ornament. But they decorate her golden, beautiful golden limbs because it's Angam. So she's Gaurangi. Why is she Gaurangi? Radharani's called Gaurangi because her Anga, her limbs are Anga, they're golden. Taptakanshina Gaurangi, they're very golden and shimmering and shining with beautiful Lavanya Sundara, a very natural radiance of her unlimited youth, her perennial youth and her perennial love, and her beauty, her youth, and her love. If you combine these three together, that's if you have unlimited beauty, unlimited love, and unlimited youthfulness, and each one of those attributes has its own radiance, its own jyoti. Youth has a jyoti or radiance, love has a jyoti or radiance, and beauty has a jyoti or radiance. You combine all three of them together, and it's called Lavanya in Sanskrit. And Lavanya is a natural emanation, a natural glow of all these features of Radharani's transcendental being emanating for the pleasure of Krishna. So the Padakar is like Prabhupada Saraswati. He has one verse in Radharasananiti where he's glorifying seven different Lavanyas of Radharani. You know, Lavanya Sundar, Lavanya this, Lavanya that. Lavanya is this. The translation oftentimes of the word Lavanya, 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 means like the glow or the radiance that naturally emanates from a moti or a pearl. If you have a real pearl, not a fake one, but a real one, it has a glow to it. That's something, a soft, beautiful glow. Anyway, these descriptions, they fall very short of the actual reality of the experience of Radharani's darshan or the experience of Radharani's transcendental qualities. We talk about naam, roop, guna, lila. So the guna means the qualities, the lakshanas, the characteristics of Radharani are obviously inconceivable and indescribable, unfathomable and unlimited. But somehow, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, they try to use the best, choicest words in Sanskrit to describe the beauty that they are perceiving. They directly see and perceive Radharani's beauty in the eyes of their heart, Primanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. And then they're seeing it, oh, it's Radharani is so beautiful. So, I mean, Radharani is so beautiful, she's delicious. So she's tasty. You can taste Radharani's beauty. And they use these words all the time, maduram, maduram, maduram. Sweetness. Sweetness is a function of the tongue, salty, bitter, pungent, salt, sweet. So we taste sweetness. But they're saying her sweet form, madura, madhurya rupa. That means her form is delicious, scrumptious, tasty. Not just, wow, beautiful form, but sweet. It's they don't know what they're intoxicated by the experience of having darshan and radharani in their meditations and sportis. And they say, I have to share this, I have to write about this. Well, what do you think makes up the mind and hearts of poets and singers and writers? They have such intense experiences, either due to drugs or due to their own expansion of their own natural consciousness or their own unlimited awareness. So I have to share this with the people. My heart has to sing out this song or write these poetic words. People should hear this poetry. And they want to share. And that's a big word now. Thanks for sharing. We don't ever hear the word caring, but we hear a lot of sharing. Everyone's sharing, but no one's caring. Thanks for sharing this and that with me. But the real question is there anyone out there that cares about me? That's hard to find in this age, no doubt. Maybe your mother. if you're lucky, your mother may care for you. That's like the last holdout. If your mother doesn't care for you, then you're careless. There's no care. She's the epitome of care. So back to Radharani's ornaments. So when the Sakis and Mantris are dressing Radharani in the morning, they put on a very beautiful ornament. It's called Vipaksha Mada. Vipaksha, four chains go across. Oh, there's actually five. There's five. There's one on the thumb also. And the five chains go from the rings towards the direction of the wrist. You know the wrist? This is the wrist. So they go across the back of the hand like five lines coming from the thumb, you know, like meridians, chi, or energy, shiatsu, or all these tai chi, or acupressure. So five lines, and then they connect to the wrist. And the wrist, there's a gold, it's all gold. There's a gold bracelet. So it's like this, and then five little chains, and then five rings. Okay? But then in the middle, right across the middle of the palm, the middle, there's a plate. There's a name plate. There's a metal plate. And on that is inscribed on that plate, R, A, D, H, A, Radha. Now, and it's written in such a way when you hold your hand like this, it says, because like some computers, you open them, the name is upside down on the computer, but when you flip it up, someone looks at your computer, oh, Dell. When you put it down, it's upside down. You know, the writing is like this type of thing. So Radharani could have it like this, oh, Radha. But that it goes that way, it becomes backwards. You follow? So it's left to right, R. So as ladies, they always go, you know, they go like this all the time. There's certain standard moves that ladies have. It's like men walk like this. Watch out. You know, men have their certain postures and moves, and ladies, you know, like that. So, and everyone, men have done a full study of women, all their moves and postures, and they're totally intoxicated by it all. And women have done a total study of men's movements and postures, and whatever they are, I don't know. Ask them. I don't think they care that much. Do you have money? Do you look good? Okay, good, come. Do you have a lot of money and you really have something? Okay, fine. Otherwise, get lost. So why is it called the Vipaksha Mada Mardan? So Mada means pride. Mada. Kamkro lo maha mada. Mada means intoxication. Mada means liquor. M-A-D-A, mada, means liquor. It means intoxication. So when you drink a lot of liquor, whiskey, beer, wine, then what happens? You become intoxicated, drunk. So mada, it means pride, hankara. In Gita, Krishna tells in 16th chapter the quality of the demon, dambha. Dambha is one of the asura sampat, one of the opulences of the demon. Is pride. So mana means pride. And man, also the word man, and we say amanina, mani dena, kirtanina sundahari, Trinada Pisa. So man means pride. So Radharani enters man because her pride has been pinched to one of her emotional states, one of the states of Virha Bhav, love and separation. There's four types of love and separation: Prem Vaichitya, Pravasara, Purva Vaichitya, Purva Rag, Pravasara, Prem Vaichitya, and man. So man is that Radharani enters into the state of, oh, you insulted my pride, you insulted my esteem by cheating on me and running with another gopi, Chandravali Padma Shaivya, or standing me up or not showing up on time. So then she becomes Manini Radha. We have a whole mandir, a whole mountaintop. And there's only four mountains in Barsala representing Chaturmukh, the four faces of Brahma. And one of those mountains, and there's only four, an entire mountain is dedicated to Radharani's man, right? It's called man. And on top of that mountain, there's a mandir dedicated to Radharani's pride. Man means her pride. It's called man mandir. Have you heard? You must have heard. Everyone goes there. There's more kutir. There's Vilasgar and Dangar and Mangar. Gar means mountain. Vilasgar, Dangar, Mangar, then the mandir. It's just, I don't know whatever that's called. These are the four mountains of Barsad. So mada means pride. So vipaksha mada mardan. Mardan means destroy or to kill. Marin. In Hindi they say marin. And we say martya. Martya or mrityu. This planet is called mrityu loka. It's not swarga loka. It's mrityu. Everyone dies here very quickly. Some jivas die in 24 hours. Some in 24 days. Some in 24 years. Some in... Oh, everything has its time. Some little fly is born, and 24 hours later, he's finished. I studied that in biology. Fruit fly, to be technical. So it's a place of death. So vipaksha means opposite party, different group. So Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari, Krishnaeshwari. Krishna Praneshwari, Shameshwari, Vrindavaneshwari, Rajeshwari, Bhujalipe, Shiradike, Namastate. Radharani ki jai. So Radharani, this, when they see this ornament, then their pride is killed, destroyed. She goes like this. She sees Chandravali walking by somewhere. And he looks, Radha. Radha, that's me, Radha. This is very, I like this ornament. I'm praying that this is Bhushanam. He says, I'm going to Bhushanam. He's saying, I'm praying, when will that day come when I'm pure and I have attained prema and I'm chanting Shudanam, and after so many lifetimes I've actually attained the perfection of Bhakti Bhajan. And I'm seeing Radha and Krishna's leelas, and I'm serving there my siddha sarup as a mandri, a siddhadeya, gopi. And I'm decorating him. So he's just saying, when will I decorate your body with different ornaments? But I'm being specific, because there are specific ornaments. Like Radharani's pearl necklace has one name. Each of her necklaces has a name. She has a comb. The mandris use to comb her hair. And it's called swastida. Swastida. I think swasti is something to do with yogi or something. Swasti. So I think it means auspiciousness. And it's made of ivory, elephant tusk, elephant ivory. And it has inset blue sapphires. What else? What else could it be? It's an ivory comb. The white ivory represents the purity of Radharani's heart. Pure and should. And then the blue sapphire inset gems represent Krishna. So then they sakis, they brush Radharani's hair with this ivory comb inset. It's called swastida. Rupa Goswami Pad is explaining the names of many of Radharani's personal paraphernalia in the Radha Krishna Gamaradish Deepika, which they're recently about 4 different editions in English. Some are better than others. So this is I really like this ornament because it establishes Radharani's supremacy over everyone in Vrindavan, including Krishna. Because sometimes, I mean, Krishna has a ring he wears on his finger. And it's very interesting because once one devotee gave Prabhupada a gold ring in 1976, and I don't think he knew anything about Astakali Leela, or anybody knew anything at that time, specifically, other than that Krishna's Leelas are eternal, nitya. But the flow going through 8 yamas or 8 times a day, I don't think anyone had much understanding of then, and now it's common knowledge everywhere. This is the age of knowledge distribution. It's all the will of Garanga. So gave Prabhupada this gold ring, and that ring it said KRSNA, Krishna. And Prabhupada wore that. You can see pictures of Prabhupada wearing that ring. And one time, somewhere, maybe in Nairobi in Africa or somewhere, Prabhupada took it off and gave it to Brahmananda. And then Brahmananda, I think it fit on his pinky finger or something. He's so big. Prabhupada's small. So he had this ring, Krishna. But in Nitya Leela, you see that Krishna, he puts a ring on his finger and says, Krishna. Radharani has her thing, he says, Radha, and Krishna has his ring, he says, Krishna. So they both have their own ego also. Radharani saying, Radha, and Krishna saying, Krishna. But when push comes to shove, it's Krishna gets defeated by Radha. Because he submits to the purity of her love, the expanse of unlimited expanse of Radharani's love and the unlimited sweetness and depth of Radharani's love completely inundates Krishna's mind and heart and drowns him in the intoxication of bliss that he can't find anywhere else from any other gopi. This is Radharani. Radharani's unique position. So now, when you're decorating Radharani, because everyone's decorating Radharani. You may have your own Radharani every morning you're decorating. So I don't know what all you have for your ornaments. And but especially in Vrindavan, the devotees are quite well read in all the Rasa Shastras, the Pujaris. So there are ornaments and decorations they have that are available because I've done some Pujari work there over the years. They have many things that are right out of the Leela, like a pearl, these different necklaces. So one thing that Radharani wears, which is a very common article nowadays, or in every days, is called the necklace, but it's a locket. There's a necklace around the neck, and there's a cameo, they call it cameo or a locket. You open up the cameo, and there's a picture inside. So Radharani, one day, Chitrasakhi, Chitra, of course, means artistic. Chitrasakhi, she wanted to please Radharani, make her very, very happy. So the best way to please Radharani is to give her Krishna. There's no greater gift you can give Radharani than Krishna. That's the whole life and soul of the mantras, is to bring Krishna to Radharani and Radharani to Krishna, to bring them together. So one day, Chitrasakhi, she decided to paint. She was inspired to offer Radharani a beautiful painting and putting inside a locket. So she got a piece of ivory, a small piece of ivory, oh, this big, maybe, this big, like a 1 rupee coin. And she painted a beautiful picture of Shyamasundar, Tribhanga, the favorite pose, Radharani's favorite pose of Krishna. It's like, bent in 3 places and looking so special, right at her. So Chitra painted this. It took some time. It was so small. And she finally painted it, and then she took it to the goldsmith named Tankan. Rangana and Tankan. All the names are there. Govinda Lilamrita describes the names of different goldsmiths and all the different artists and craftsmen that come and serve Krishna in the morning and serve Radharani. So she took it to the goldsmith and said, listen, this is my painting. Make a beautiful locket and necklace for Radharani. So then she offered it one day to Radharani. So Radharani has this locket around her neck has a little door, a little gold door on it, and no one can see except she can open it. And Krishna wears, and once I asked, because it's not, I mean, I'm just kind of expanding a story, but what it actually says in the Shastras that Radharani wears a locket around her neck with a picture of Krishna. So I see it like that, a Tribhanga form. So I once asked my guru, I said, Gurudev, you know, Radharani wears this locket around her necklace. It's telling in Govinda Lilamrita. Do you know what that looks like? That picture? I wanted to kind of go a little deep into his private stock of meditations, since he's been doing bhajan for 76 years as a Babaji in Vrindavan, and lifelong brahmachari, Brahmin pundit, so he's a very deep personality. And he smiled. He looked at me and he said, it's Krishna's smiling face. And I said, not Tribhanga form? And he said, no. And I said, but when I meditate on that ornament and offering that to Radharani, I'm thinking it's Tribhanga. And he said, I don't know. You're thinking that way, but I've seen like this. And I said, okay. And then I said, so Krishna's face, and he's smiling. A smile, the type of smile that's reserved for Radharani. Like every lover has a special smile that's reserved for their beloved. And if that smile is used all over town, then you don't have any lover. But if that smile is reserved for your lover, then the beloved has one lover. So Krishna has one smile that's reserved only for Radharani. Otherwise, he's rather controlled and subdued, but that's a very special smile that Radharani knows very well, and that's how Krishna gives himself away. When he's disguised in various female disguises, which there are about 30 of, Krishna disguises himself as 30 different types of ladies in order to get near, close to Radharani, to understand what is her love. And we put an article on our Facebook, I guess it's there, I haven't seen, but I sent it to Delhi. It says, Radharani defines love. That's the title of the article. And I summarized a small book by Vishwanath called Prem Sambhut. I took out the essence where Radharani's actually, Krishna described, in that book, which you must be knowing, Prem Sambhut by Vishnu Chakravarti. Small. You can download it. PDF, free download. hit your internet tonight. It's in English, probably a few editions actually, two or three editions. Some even out word for word, which is better. Sanskrit. So in this beautiful story, Leela, Krishna, he wanted to hear Radharani describe her love for Krishna. And that's, according to Vishwanath, I guess, maybe true, I can't say. But according to Vishwanath, he said, every lover wants to hear how much his beloved loves him. But that, he'll rarely ever hear that, because that's a secret that the beloved cherishes in her heart. He understands by her expression, by her seva, by her feelings, by her, through the relationship, that like, certainly my wife or my beloved loves me. But to actually hear from her mouth, telling why, and how many ways, like when we're little kids, we take a flower, a dandelion, and we pick off the petals. Oh, I love you. Let me count the ways. And we pick off one and throw it at it. And we throw the whole thing down. I love you in so many ways. But generally that's not spoken. And even the book itself, Prem Sambhut, says when love is a flame, it uses this analogy that love, true love is a flame. True love is a flame burning in the hearts of both the lover and the beloved. It's like, you know, flame, candle, fire, flame. flame burning in the heart of the lover and the beloved. And if you open your mouth to express, if you have to express, or you express that with your mouth, then that wind going in your mouth will extinguish the fire of your love. Sorry, it's not, I mean, English doesn't really get anywhere near the Sanskrit poetry and beauty of the whole metaphor or whole description of the point being described. But anyone who's loved or does love or knows how to love understands what it means. In other words, you don't love, it's like if you have to tell someone you love them, that means they don't, either they don't know what love is or you don't love them. So someone says, you never tell me you love me. But if you can't tell, I love you, then you don't know what love is to begin with. So even if I tell you, what will it mean to you? Do you understand my speech? Because love is everything you do except telling about it. Oh, I love you so much. That means it's nothing. If you have to tell, then there's no love. I think everyone understands this. So that's the situation. Radharani really loves Krishna, but she never once told it. So Krishna's, I want to hear her describe how much she loves me. So how will I do that? So Vrindadevi said, so you have to disguise yourself. So he disguised himself as a beautiful celestial lady. He dressed himself up very beautifully, like some heavenly damsel. And of course he had blue complexion, because he's blue. Shyam Sakhi. And yesterday was at Darshan in Vrindavan and Sivakunj of Radha Damodar, where Damodar dressed up as Shyam Sakhi. He was playing a veena and long hair, looking like Gopi. On this Gopastami day, all the seven temples of Vrindavan, they have special Darshan. And here, because they kind of mimic or follow that, most of the temples had special Darshan here. But it started there long before the temples were established over here. So even Prabhupada wrote a letter in 68 to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, this was 68, 69, probably put the deities in New York or somewhere. Radha and Krishna, small Radha Govinda. He said, our next festival, you can see in a folio, you can check. Our next festival will be Rai Raj. R-A-I, Raj. Rai means Radharani. Do or die, it's all for Rai. Kartik, Brat. So Rai means queen, and it's a very affectionate, it's Sanskrit, but it's often used more in Bengali poetry and Bengali bhajans, the word Rai. It's not so much known in North Indian Hindi or Sanskrit that much, but it's there, Rai. Rai Raj. It's another way of saying queen and king. So in Rai Raj, Radharani Rai becomes the Raj. And so in this special Darshan, Radharani becomes the queen of Vrindavan. And this particular coronation of Radharani, of her being established, established as the queen of Vrindavan, is described in Padma Purana briefly, Briya Gautamiya Tantra, Dankeli Chintam, and Dankeli Kumudi, and then here and there, and some of the devotees among the Goswamis, they said, Jiva Goswami, why don't you expand these small discussions about Radharani being coronated as queen? So then he wrote a whole play, which is, we call a book, a whole play called Madhav Mahotsav, which we published in English for the first time. It was translated by Bhano Swami. Well, that's available. It's on the table over there, I think so. It was. And there it describes Radharani's coronation. So when a new queen comes into power, then there's so many ministerial posts, the minister of treasury, the minister of defense, and so many positions have to be filled in her cabinet, and what they call cabinet ministers, whatever. So Krishna thought, oh, Radharani is the new queen of Vrindavan. I want a job. I want to get a job there. So then he went and he... Lalita was interviewing everyone. And Krishna said, look, Radharani's the new queen and I've come for some position. I want to work under the queen. So then, so you sit here, you wait, we'll discuss with Radharani if we have any openings. So that, she said, Radharani, there's a very beautiful boy here. He's looking for some position in your government. And who is that? Oh, he looks, no, he's Shankar. Oh, that boy. So then, do we have any openings? No, no, tell him everything's filled. We don't need anything. So then Litasaki went to Krishna. He said, look, we have Minister of Defense. That's Litasaki. Minister of Defense. She's tough. And we have Minister of Entertainment. Entertainment Minister, that's Vishaka. Vishaka Saki, because she's so good joker and whatnot. And then we all the minister posts are filled, and with Treasury, this all so many ministers. So the Krishna was, some tears were coming in his eyes. He said, there's nothing for me. I mean, so I just want some small engagement. And this new queen, Radharani, is now Vrindavaneshwari. This big Utsavan festival has happened, and all the Arundhati, and Shachi, and Indira, and all the great goddesses, and Parvati, they've all come down here to bathe Radharani, and give gifts to Radharani, and the demigods, all the demigoddesses, all the wives of the demigods have come and bathed Radharani and given her so many ornaments and decorations and blessings. And I can't I please have some engagement? I mean, I also live here in Vrindavan. I'm a resident here, and then Malika says, well, let me do an interview. What are your qualities? What is your qualification? Do you have any education? You want to be a minister, but do you have education? Krishna said, education? I'm from a village. We don't go to school. It's only in Delhi and Bombay. I grew up in a village. I don't, do you know how to read? So I don't know how to read. He said, okay, well, how will you read the newspaper, read the news, or to the prime minister, to Radharani? You can't even read. Well, can you write? I don't know how to write. You can't read or write. No. Well, what do you know how to do? I'm an abhira. I'm a coward boy. And I know how to, you know, it's not easy. You have to know how to do it. Right, you know. I can milk the cows. Milk the cows? Radharani has 7 lakhs of cows. She has so many milkmen. Come on. She said, Krishna was thinking, what else can I do? I can milk the cows. He was trying to think what he can do. He doesn't do all that much. He only plays. He just plays all day. You can't say my qualification for being in the government is I play all day. We don't want people in the government like that. They're supposed to work. And Krishna, wait, my Priyavamshi. I can play flute. We have so many court musicians already. We have sarod player and tabla player, and we have so many. We have 10, 15, 20 musicians playing every day to wake up Radharani, to play for her when she goes to sleep, to play for her when she eats. So, what? Oh, please, something. Okay, just wait. Don't be so unhappy. Radharani, look, this blue boy, he really is desperate for some type of position. And Radharani says, all right, make him a kotwari. Kotwari means chokidar. Make him a gatekeeper. So Radharani handed, said, here's a shield, and here's a sword. So when you take darshan, Madan Mohan, in Vrindavan or here in Radhakund last night, if you did, you would see that Krishna was down a few steps and Radharani was all by herself. And as you saw, in his center, in the top, I am the top. I am tops. I am the queen. And Krishna was there. Of course, obviously, his hands were like this, but he had a shield in his hand, this round thing, And then his sword was there. So this darshan, Prabhupada described in a letter to Jamal Krishna, Maharaj, in 1969. You can do this with the deities, this festival. So that letter has become kind of the praman for many expanded deity presentations around the world you must be seeing. So this is the bhushana, and this is what he's praying for. surrender this beautiful seva. Now we'll go to line 4. Krishna, the code for it. Anyway, that whole Madhava Mahotsav is all about that. It's very, very beautiful. And now on line 4, he's expressing, after expressing his desires in 3 lines for different sevas to Radharani, he's seen these in his meditation, spurti and deep vision, very clear and realistic for him, because he's him, who's him? Him is Prabhupada Saraswati, or Saraswati Pada, they often say. He has a Mandri form, and he also has his Sakhi form, his Tunga Vidya Sakhi, one of Radharani's Astra Sakhis. So in line 4, he's summarizing the whole thing, saying, I'm hankering for these things, he's saying. In line 3, he's saying, Drita Ashe, which we discussed yesterday. Ashe means my hope. Ash means my hope. Ashabanda. I'm hoping for this. And he says, Drita. Drita means I'm holding very firmly onto this hope. I'm cherishing this hope more than anything. That someday, somehow, I can have these, attain these wonderful, intimate, and very, very personal sevas of Radharani's own body, painting her body and decorating her body with ornaments and decorations, and painting leaves on her cheeks and her breasts, and then afterwards dressing her and ornamenting her, fully engaged and practically speaking, bathing, dressing, decorating Radharani. So after expressing his firm hopes, Dhritasha, for Radharani's Divya Anga Seva, personal bodily Seva, then he prays for Radharani's mercy. He says, Shri Radhike Mahi Videhi Kripa Avalokam. Shri Radhike Mahi Videhi Kripa Avalokam. And it's interesting because yesterday, this is verse 37, yesterday we discussed verse 32. And verse 32, he was saying, this is 37. Verse 32, he was asking for a sidelong glance. He wanted different services there. Then he concludes by saying, I only get these if I get to receive your mercy. We only get anything in bhakti by mercy, which we often said in this class. Even a seed of bhakti is by mercy of Guru or Krishna. Bhakti Lata Bijam. It's given to us. So that's it. Bhakti begins with mercy, it's sustained by mercy, and it's perfected by mercy. No mercy, you don't get bhakti to begin with, or you can't begin it. No mercy, you can't sustain it, or practice it, or continue it. And no mercy, you can't progress and perfect it, or attain the prayojana, or the goal of prema. So it's mercy at every step of the way. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That's why there's basically 2 mantras in India that everybody knows, and actually in these 2 mantras is the sum and substance of the entire bhakti tattva, bhakti siddhanta. One mantra is, there's 3 mantras that are very common in Hindi, which are actually the sum total of all bhakti. Bhakti sadhana, the bhakti prayojan, everything. What are those 3 mantras? First mantra is Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Hindi, Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. And it's also Sanskrit. The mercy of Guru is Kevalam. Only this means nothing else. Nothing else will work in a field of bhakti or any spiritual field without the blessings of the teacher, the Guru. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. And the next one is Man Tan Dan Guru Samarpan. Man Tan Dan Guru Samarpan. So Arpan, worship, Arpita. Arpita Arpan. I should completely worship. Sam means completely. I should fully worship the Guru with Man Tan Dan Guru Samarpan. Man means my mind, my thinking. My thinking, my feeling, my willing should be dedicated to Guru. Man Tan. Tan means Tanu. Like we say, there's a beautiful word in Sanskrit that means a very beautiful lady with a beautiful body. We say Tanvi. So sometimes when Radharani is turning to one of her sakis, instead of saying, oh Lalite, oh Vishake, she says, hey, oh Tanvi, oh Tanvi, oh beautiful girl, Oh, Tanvi. It's a very beautiful. T-A-N-V-I. Tanvi. Means one of a very beautiful body, beautiful form. It's another way of saying Sundari. Sundari, Tanvi. We're more familiar maybe with the word Sundari or Sundar. Male is Sundar and Sundari, female. So Man Tan, Tan is body, and then Dan means my wealth, my attributes, my qualities, my skills and talents. So Man Tan, Dan, Guru Samarpan, Guru Kripa Kevalam. And the third one is, I forget. I had it in the beginning, but now I lost it. Guru Kripa Kevalam and Man Tan, Dan, Guru Samarpan. I can't remember, but that's basically it. Because it emphasizes the point I'm discussing is by Kripa. And that's what this last line says, Sri Radhike Mayi Videhi Kripava Lokam. In verse 32, he was saying, I want Kripa Kataksha. He said, I want a sidelong glance. I just want a corner of your glance. Aksha means I. Chakshu Dano Dilo Ye Janmi Janmi Prabhu Se. My Gurudev, Om Anjana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. So Guru opens her eyes with knowledge, and he wants Kata, the corner of Radharani's eye. Just look at me from the corner of your eye. But here in this particular verse, because in verse 32, Saraswati Pad was praying for a little bit not so intimate or personal services. In verse 32, he says, Radharani, when will I take you on Abhisar? On your love journey to meet Krishna, I will bring you from Varsana and take you to Vrindavan, to the Kunj, to meet Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna. So I will escort you and arrange, I'll take you to the Sanket Kunj. And then inside that appointed Kunj, or Sanket Kunj, I will have prearranged and made a beautiful bed of leaves, or flowers and leaves, for you to play on and rest on. So that's what he's asking. When will I make this bed for you in the Kunja, or Kunj? And when will I take you in Abhisar? And to attain those wonderful services, I'm praying for just a sidelong glance. But now he's thinking, that was those sevas. Now a few verses later, in verse 37, which we're discussing today, he's saying, I don't want to just be an escort or be a bed maker, but I want to touch your body. I want to paint your breasts and paint your cheeks. And that's a very intimate setting. It's part of Radharani's bathing. She's not wearing any clothes. And so very personal, very intimate, confidential. Then I want to adorn your form. Because however I do this, how beautifully I paint your face and how beautifully I decorate you, that will all be perceived and seen directly by Krishna. So it must be very perfect and expert and colorful and balanced and exciting to Krishna, and satisfying to Krishna. It's described in Sankalpa Kalpa Juma in the morning when Radharani gets dressed in Yaga Prabharasana. Also, Govinda Lilamrita, after the Sakis and Mantris dressed Radharani, then he held up a mirror in front of her, a jeweled mirror, beautiful mirror surrounded by jewels. Long mirror, and some temples around the world. Prabhupada started this Darpan Seva, Thakurji's Darpan Seva in 1976. We were in Los Angeles at the time. I don't know if there's any old devotees here, I can't say. But then Prabhupada, when they would greet the deities, Rukmini Dwarkadish, the curtains would open, be so much incense burning there. Prabhupada wanted that, he started that. He said, when they open the doors, there should be so much incense you can't see the deities. So much smoke. So they bought all these little black charcoals. We used to go to the supply house for the Catholic Church. They have all this incense and frankincense and myrrh and all these really good quality original things. So we'd buy these little black coals, and then we buy all these crystals, myrrh and frankincense and fantastic fragrances. The real thing. Because these myrrh and frankincense, these are gums. And like if you're from the country someplace, they have pine trees. And pine trees, these kind of needle-like trees that grow in the snow, pine trees. And then they have, and the trunk, it gives off sap. It oozes from the trunk and it makes a little crystal. and they use that to make turpentine and paint thinner and things like that. And they have some kind of fragrance, a pine fragrance also. Some kind of natural sap or juice that comes out of the trunk of a tree. So frankincense and myrrh are produced like that. They're from trees or whatever. And so they it crystallizes, and you can buy the real thing. So I remember I was new Pajari, and my sale was to do that. So I was not so much personally. So I had to put those, and we have a fan, Well, there's 5 minutes left, and you can't do it too soon. And you have to make it really hot because it has to be a lot of smoke. If it's not a lot of smoke, probably won't be happy. So the whole tea room is full of smoke. I mean, totally blue smoke and totally fragrant. Then, Govinda, Hari Purusham, Tama Bhajami, Govinda. Then, doors open up. And as soon as the doors open up, all this blue smoke comes out. Prabhupada's there. Oh, nice. He said, this is Vaikuntha. He says in Dwarka, you can read this also in Krishna book, in Dwarka Leela. In Dwarka, when there's so much smoke, there's so much incense smoke coming out of the windows of Krishna's palace with Rukmini, there's so much smoke coming out that the peacocks that are perched on the verandas of Krishna's palace in Dwarka, when they see this thick blue smoke, they think it's the monsoon season. And when the monsoon season is there, there's so many clouds in the sky. And the peacocks, they see that smoke coming out from Krishna's bedroom, so much incense smoke. They go, oh, oh, oh. You know how they make that sound? No, oh. They start. So Prabhupada, he said, this is Dwarka. This is New Dwarka. So it should be like this. So we all read that in the Krishna book, and we were in New Dwarka in LA, and that was one of Prabhupada's. Of course, he said that many places, actually. But he said that's his favorite temple. He would go to different temples. This is my favorite temple. Prabhupada was expert at making everyone happy. You know? That was his mission in life, to give happiness to everyone, make everyone happy. They say that's the mission of every true spiritualist. Vishram Purna Sukhayate. Vishram Purna Sukhayate. Vishram Purna Sukhayate means... Vishwa means universe, Purna means completely, Sukhayate means happy. Let the whole universe be filled with happiness. Vishwa Purna Sukhayate. This is the motto of the spiritual man or woman, a spiritual lady or spiritual man. Because he or she has become blissful within themselves by realizing the essence of life. And the essence of life is God. So whoever God manifests within you, and when he manifests within you, then he manifests all the bliss of the spiritual world within you. And when that bliss manifests within you, it naturally emanates from you. It's genuine. It's not fake. It's real. It's real and realized. It's real and it's realized. So then become a true well-wisher of the world. And the greatest well or the best gift you can give to anyone or anyone in the world is pure love, spiritual love. And that's the contribution of the great saints and sadhvis, female and male saints that are gracing this planet. They're distributing love, transcendental Prem. Even some people have names like that, Prem Gopal. So one devotee has one great acharya, Nityananda Bhav, she has a name. Pujipad Sri Prem Gopal Goswami. So he is a distributor of Nitya Prem, which means Krishna Prem. Radha Krishna Prem. And many, many like that. So now I don't know where I was or where I am even. Where am I? Anyone know? Yeah, you wanted everyone to be happy, but oh, I was just talking about smoke. Yeah, the mirror, thank you. Because when I started speaking, I don't know, I have some notes, but where it goes, I don't know. I can't say. But I was saying the Prabhupada started his mirror service. So when Sankalpa Kalpadruma, thank you, when the mantris or Sakhi, they show the mirror to Radharani, they were talking about this, line 3, we're still carrying on, Angam Chabushitam Abharan. Abharan means ornaments, and Bhushitam also means ornaments or decorations. So now the decorating is done, Radharani is all dressed and decorated, looking very beautiful, petite and attractive. So then the mantra holds up a mirror. So when Radharani, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad says in Sankalpa Kalpadram, when Radharani sees her reflection in the mirror and how beautiful she looks and how every hair is perfectly in place and her casual, everything fresh casual and fresh lipstick and everything's just perfect, picture pretty, or picture, what do they say, picture perfect. And she says, oh, quickly, Sakis, take me to Nandagraha. Krishna should see this beauty. This is the perfection of beauty. There's no greater beauty. You've done a wonderful job. All these Sakis and Mandris have done a wonderful job. Now, so Radharani is not, she doesn't have even one drop of narcissism. She doesn't have one drop of narcissism in her. Narcissism, if that's the right word, I think it is. Narcissism, or being a narcissist, or whatever it is, maybe less S's, means that you look in the mirror and say, wow, hey, I'm really beautiful. And you gloat over your beauty or what you think is beauty. You say, wow, I don't know, I look so good. And that Radharani doesn't do that for 1 second. As soon as she sees, oh, this is, Krishna will love this. Because Radharani never enjoys herself for a second. She never enjoys herself. She wants Krishna to enjoy her at every second. And the mantris want to bring Radharani to Krishna so Krishna can enjoy her at every second. Because she's the enjoyed, and Krishna's the enjoyer. And that's her perfection. And she loves to be enjoyed by Krishna. And automatically she gets so much unlimited bliss from that. So this seva that he's praying for, over time a little bit. I said, if you have to go somewhere, you better go. I'm almost done. So basically, I'm just saying he's praying for these services, so here he's not asking for a sidelong glance like in verse 32. He's asking for the complete kripa avalokam. Avalokam means a glance. He's saying, I want your full glance, look fully directly at me. I don't want not just a side glance. I for this seva, which is a very high, intimate, personal seva, I'm praying for the full glance, your full glance of your eyes. I want you to look at me fully. So he's saying, Mayi Videyi Kripa Kataksha, that was before. So to fulfill, he's thinking how high and how great, he's thinking how high and how great is my aspiration, Drita Ashe, which is 9.3. How high and how great is it? And he desires for Radharani's sevas. So we as sadhakas are also thinking that's impossible. How will I ever attain such incredibly rare and personal service of Radharani and such special seva? So then he, as a sadhak, he's modifying his prayer. Don't give me a corner of your glance. Give me your full glance. Look directly, fully at me, Radharani, because I need this full glance of your mercy. So not simply a sidelong glance. So this verse is, you can say, indicating a mood here. He's saying, I need all your mercy. I need your full mercy, your full glance, to attain such an impossible goal. There's some play 50 years ago called Dream the Impossible Dream. Very nice phrase. So that's what sadhana bhakti is all about. We're so far from perfection, we're so far from prema, we're so Kali Yugaized, but yet our aspiration, our ideal and our aspiration is so high. We're shooting for the stars. We're trying to reach the rainbow. So of course it all comes down to prayer and hope against hope. And someday we'll attain this wonderful service of Radharani. And tomorrow we'll begin the class by reading the pastime that goes with this verse and then one bhajan in Bengali. Hey Radhe Rajanandani Ganarvike Takarani Prithamai Krishna Priyatama. Very beautiful Bengali bhajan that's been included in the purport. Pratika. Radharas Suranidhi Ki Jai Jai.